We need to know the rest of the story before we form an opinion. So that's going to mean sometimes that we have to dig a little, that we have to actually lift a finger to hunt a story down. So if I would ask you today, my appeal to you today would be, before you go to the voting booth in November, if there is something that has formed your ideology or formed your opinion about a candidate or formed your opinion about a party, whatever it is, run down the root of it and look at all of the information side by side before you make such a crucial decision with your vote. Welcome to the Lady Up America podcast. I'm Diane Canada, your host. I'm so glad you're here today. It's Monday, March 18th, and today we're going to be talking One Cannot Live on Sound Bites Alone. Be right back. All right, ladies. So today I want to talk about, as a culture, we live on sound bites. And who really has the onus there, right? We, on one hand, we have so much information coming at us from so many different angles, devices, billboards. I mean, it's just everywhere that our brains can only process so much, right? So there's going to be a saturation process that happens where we have to just sort of shut off, right? It's like drinking out of a fire hose all day long. You just can't do it. So I understand that we as a culture have to limit our intake, especially when we're trying to focus on our families and on errands that need to be run and on, you know, work, and we've got kids and we've got family issues, and we've got houses to keep up and all. I mean, there's just so much, right? So we now have become, because of all of this information overload, a society that lives on sound bites. And if we think we can trust the source that the sound bite is coming from, then we just take that and we run with it. And that helps to form our ideology. It helps to form our opinion on current and social issues. And it informs us at the polling station, in the voter box. And this is certainly the case for the younger generation, I think, those that, you know, that have attention spans of a gnat, right? I mean, our younger generation, they can't sit still or take in a whole article of anything. They just kind of want to hear again the sound bites, just kind of get the cliff notes, and then they go on to the next thing that kind of the next shiny thing that gets their attention. So there's so much danger in this. And I am so guilty of this myself in my life. Like, I had 1,000 things going on. I had a lot of other interests. I really wasn't interested in politics. I really wasn't interested in what was going on, you know, on Capitol Hill. And so I would just sort of hear things in passing and maybe walk through the living room with the TV on and hear a sound bite. And, you know, as I'm coming back through, hear it again. And that was really all I knew about politics. So I get it. I know where we're coming from on this. It's just an epidemic, you know, diet of sound bites. So here's where it's dangerous, though. A lot of these sources that are pumping these out are not trustworthy anymore. There used to be a time in our society where news and journalism was balanced, where we had sources we could count on to kind of break everything down, filter it down, and give it to us in bite-sized pieces so we could absorb and digest it, right? That's not the case anymore. The news and the media have become propaganda machines at this point. And so we have to try harder to kind of get to the root of what the real issue is or what was really said. And most of us, frankly, just don't feel like it's important enough to spend that kind of time to run it down. And that is exactly what they're counting on. So over the weekend, we had a big story that blew up. Trump was giving a rally. And he was talking about the automobile industry. He was talking about China building plants in Mexico and then wanting to sell, you know, get that cheap labor down there and then sell, sell these automobiles to us. And Trump was basically saying that when he goes back in office, he's going to put tariffs on all of those imports. And he's basically how he was just going to stand up to China. And he made the comment when he was talking about the automobile industry that if he didn't get elected, how China was basically going to capitalize on that economic opportunity and how it was going to be a bloodbath. And the left media took that, blew that completely out of proportion, and now equated it with Trump taking office and wanting a dictatorship and wanting, you know, to force himself into office, and that if he didn't get elected, that it would be a bloodbath. So dishonest, so completely taken out of context. And they ran with this all weekend. It blew up on Twitter, it blew up on a lot of the news stations. So now they're walking that back today. There's trying to undo some of that, but the damage is done for those people who live their lives on sound bites. The damage is done, and they know that. So in, you know, we look back at Nazi Germany. One of the ways that they were able to get so many people, so many Germans to go along or to even turn a blind eye to what was happening in the concentration camps is because they had what was known as state-run media. They controlled all of the media outlets, and it became a propaganda tool for the government. They just fed the people what they wanted them to hear, and it was not balanced at all. It was not honest. There was a lot of very dark motivation behind it. And it kept a lot of people in the dark, or it kept them at the very least, you know, sort of not thinking things were as bad as they were. Well, we're seeing this in our country now between, you know, MSNBC and CBS and so many of the major media outlets. And then you add big tech in there. They hate that Twitter is sort of outside of that propaganda machine. And so they're doing everything they can now to take Elon Musk down, to take Twitter down, to slap all kinds of things against Twitter. Because if they really want to get full control over the media, they have to shut down a lot of these other outlets that are popular where people can share true information. So anyway, it's one of the best things that happened was Twitter staying an open public square for free speech. And like I said, they're doing everything they can to change that. But if that can stay open for us and we can actually have, he added something, some kind of a, he's equipped Twitter with some kind of a mechanism where people can basically fact check each other. And so you can get both sides of a fact check on it and people can make up their own minds. And I think that's awesome. That's brilliant. We need to know the rest of the story before we form an opinion. So that's going to mean sometimes that we have to dig a little, that we have to actually lift a finger to hunt a story down. So if I would ask you today, my appeal to you today would be, before you go to the voting booth in November, if there is something that has formed your ideology or formed your opinion about a candidate or formed your opinion about a party, whatever it is, run down the root of it and look at all of the information side by side before you make such a crucial decision with your vote. I hope a lot of you are even going to go vote. I know a lot of you are saying you're not even going. I hope you go. My mission between now and November is to motivate you to go. Our vote, we get to vote in this country. I did a whole podcast on this a couple of weeks ago, but we get to vote, especially as women. So many women went through so much pain and agony, were imprisoned. I mean, there was so much during the women's suffrage movement that gave us the opportunity to even cast our vote. So I know we all have a lot of fear around the election integrity system at this point. I know all of that. But overwhelming the polls is one of the ways to make your voice heard. It matters. It matters. And you showing up to cast that vote matters. So I hope you'll go vote. But when you do, please make sure that you're not just operating off of a sound bite. Make sure you've taken in the full meal, the full context of what was said and why it was said and in what, you know, in what setting it was said and what the conversation was about. Just run. I'm not saying you got to go run down every political headline, but at least the ones that are forming your position, forming your decisions, please make sure that you run those down. and don't listen to the propaganda machines out there on either side. You know, I do listen to Fox News. I do like, there are a couple of anchors on there that I do think are trying their best to bring balanced news, but I don't just rely on Fox News. This is something I used to do as a consultant. When I would go into a very, you know, years ago when I was doing consulting work, business crisis consulting, one of the ways that I would figure out a starting point on how to help a company was I would sit down with every single employee in a closed private room. It was a safe space where they could just completely be honest. And I would get everybody's take on what was going on in the office, get everybody's input. What do you think's working well here? What do you think's not working well? And their conversations were confidential with me, so I would promise to protect that trust. And they would open up to me and they would share all kinds of things with me. And so when you talk to all of these employees, you start to see patterns of what's really going on. You can, the truth starts to kind of emerge in the middle, right? And then you can get, you can go, okay, I've heard that maybe this person is a little emotional because they hate this person. And that, you know, you start to kind of get a sense of what's going on. And then the truth starts to emerge and you can go, okay, I think I'm pretty solid in what's really going on under all the emotion, under all of the, you know, all of the dynamics that are going on between these relationships. I think I have a pretty good solid understanding of where the truth is. And now we can start to build on that. Well, I use the same tactic when I'm forming my opinion about an issue or a candidate or whatever it is. I go and I try to get information from all different kinds of outlets about that subject or about that person. And I try to look through the smoke screens and look through the propaganda and look through the dynamics that are going on. And I'll start to see the truth emerge. Discernment is a wonderful gift from God. Wisdom and discernment, so, so, so important. So pray for that. Pray for God to give you that wisdom and discernment when you're running down a soundbite and dig a little bit. Y'all, this is our kid, the future of our kids and our grandkids are on the line here. We cannot live on soundbites alone. And ask yourself, why is it that there's such an effort to create such hatred of one candidate? I mean, I will tell you guys that when it comes to Trump, I know that his personality can be off-putting. I get that. But we have got, and I'll say this again and again and again, we have got to look not at personality, but at policies. God can use imperfect people to move his agenda forward. And when we look, I always tell you guys, when we look at those seven load-bearing walls of our country, which are rule of law, peace through strength, limited government, fiscal responsibility, free markets, individual freedom, and human dignity. When we look at those seven that are the load-bearing walls of our country, who is upholding those? Those are the soul of our nation. Those seven, they're in the app, they're in my book. I talk about them all the time. But those seven are our true north. They hold the roof up of our republic. They are interwoven in all of our founding documents from our founding fathers. When they tried to set us up for success after all the hell they went through to win our independence, then they had the unbelievably burdensome task of maintaining the republic. So they studied other governments and they tried to make sure that ours were set up in such a way where it wouldn't crumble, where we had the best chance for success. And those seven conservative values that I learned from our now speaker, Mike Johnson, he had them documented so wonderfully on his website when I was digging and trying to get to the root of a lot of things, I happened upon them. And they have now become the load-bearing walls even of Lady Up America. They are any news story that's out there that can come up, we can bounce it up against these seven founding values. If we want to talk about Trump, we could look at the rule of law. The rule of law being one of those load-bearing walls. This case in New York, for instance, where they just threw the book at him, where there had been no crime, no victim. We just had a rogue attorney up there who decided that she was going to get Trump, and then she went in front of a very biased judge who hates Trump. They ran this through, and no matter how you feel about him, let's just look at the rule of law. This is an unprecedented case where they stuck him with almost $460 million, where there was no crime and no victim. $460 million. We have protections in our Constitution against unreasonable fines. This will be heard in an appeals court and it will be thrown out. But in the meantime, they're trying to bankrupt him to run her platform, run her campaign on the basis of getting Trump. I mean, not on her merit, not on what she wants to do for her city, not how she wants to reduce crime, none of that. Her number one goal was to get Trump. We have to think about this, ladies. We have to look at this and say, is that rule of law? No, of course not. It's being weaponized. The law has been completely weaponized against this man. No crime, no victim, and throw an unprecedented fine at him that is incredibly difficult for anybody to come up with. And now they're talking about foreclosing on his properties to get it. I mean, this is like an abuse of power in the worst way. So you just look at all of these, no matter, even if the guy, even if you hate him, nobody should endure that. Take his name out of it and put somebody else's name in. Nobody should endure that. We look at the soundbite that they took over the weekend and ran with it. Right now, if somebody's walking by their living room, walking back through, and they just happen to hear that Trump wants a bloodbath, right? It just stacks up against all their other propaganda where they're trying to paint him out to be this dictator who is bloodthirsty for power and going to do anything possible to get it. It's not true. It's just not true. When you look at the context of how it was said, why it was said, had nothing to do with anything like that. So there's just, we have to be able to discern and use wisdom and see these things for ourselves. So please run down the root of a soundbite. Please do not live on soundbites alone. We don't have a trustworthy media or journalist now to bring us information. We have to dig a little bit. We have to go to several sources and see the patterns. Sources from both sides of the aisle. See for yourself what the truth is. And then make your decisions based on that. I beg you. You know, there's a song by Little Big Town that I love. It's called "It's Only What You Make of It." And one of the lines is in it is, if you go looking for the darker side of anything, you know, you're going to find it. And you can hold on to it till it takes you under, or you could let it go. And I love that line. You go looking, you know, if you go looking for something to hate someone, or you go looking for something to make you angry or kind of feed that anger that you already have, you'll find it. You'll find it. We have these preconceived ideas of who's right, who's wrong, all that based on these sound bites that we're hearing. We are letting people we don't even know stir up hate in us about somebody we don't even know. And it's destroying our country. Think for yourself. Remember critical thinking? Remember when we learned that in school? There's such a thing as thinking for yourself, not letting other people formulate your opinions and formulate your judgment calls and formulate who you vote for. We have to take some responsibility. I know it's a busy, busy world. I know we have 1,000 things going on, but these are our children and our grandchildren. We have to take a minute and be responsible enough to run these sound bites down and see if they're true or not. You know, when we're running, I did this for years where I had no white, what I call white space. I had no white space on my calendar. I would go from one thing to the next, to the next, to the next. And if anything got delayed or anything ran late, then it would throw off my whole schedule for the day and stress me out and all that. Now it's like nowadays, it's all about the priorities on my calendar. And then I try and space out the non-priority stuff throughout the week so that, and put it into next week if I have to, whatever, so that I'm not stressed out, so stressed out all the time that I can't be responsible enough or have the mental capacity enough to look into or think about the things that are important that might come up in the day. We have to slow down. I know some of y'all, I can hear some of y'all saying right now, it's easy for you to say, Diane. No, it is true. We have to slow down. There's a great video on YouTube that shows this professor giving a lesson to the class. And he's got this big jar and he's got all these ingredients beside the jar. And he's got rocks, he's got sand, and he's got water. And all these things have to go in this jar. And so what he starts doing is he starts putting the rocks in first, because he's asking the kids in the class, he's like, do you think all these things are going to fit in this one jar? And they're like, no, we don't think so, right? And he demonstrates to them by putting them in a certain order that they all will fit. So he puts the rocks in first, and the rocks symbolize our priorities in life. It's going to be things like taking care of our kids, you know, cooking for our family, maybe if that's something that you, if you have a family at home and you can do that, might be things like taking care of our health, spending time with our Lord, things that are the rock solid priorities in our life. Then what he did is he took the sand and he poured it into the jar, and all the sand represented kind of the B priorities, right? They're not the highest priorities, but they're next in line. You know, so all the sand starts swirling and kind of falling down around all the rocks, right? So he gets all the sand in. Then it looks really full in the jar already, but then he takes the pitcher of water and he starts pouring it in. And these represent the things that are just luxuries, things that we want to do in life, but they're not necessarily high priorities. So he starts pouring all the water in and it starts, you know, kind of melting down into the sand and the sand's absorbing it. But all of it fits. It all fits in this one jar. We can do everything that we want to do, but the moral of the story is we've got to put our rocks in first, our priorities in first. So this running down a soundbite, making sure you're formulating your opinions properly, especially as you're influencing other people, influencing your kids, influencing other family members, that's got to be one of those rock priorities that we have time to make sure that anything we're hearing that's affecting our worldview or our political view, who we're going to vote for at the ballot box, I would invite you to make running down that soundbite one of your rocks. Okay. Don't let it be the sand or the water that you're kind of filling in here and there. You're walking by and catching a, you know, a couple of seconds of a show. Don't let that, because it's forming our world. This is so critically important. It is a rock. All right. It's a rock. All right, rant over. Let me pray with you and I'll let you go. Father God, I thank you for this precious woman listening today. Lord, I know she's busy. We're all so busy, Lord. But I pray that you would give us the ability to discern and to use wisdom and to make a priority out of the things that we hear in our culture right now that are forming our worldview. Lord, I pray that she would have a biblical worldview and that she would be able to make wise decisions about who she votes for and, Lord, where she stands on issues. Lord, I pray that we would have a hunger and a thirst for you, Lord, and that we would, and that truth is such a big part of that, knowing you, Lord, that you would just give us that wisdom and discernment as and when we need it. And Father God, that we would not live on sound bites alone. I thank you, Lord, for the capacity to do this. In Jesus' precious name, amen. All right. I know you're busy. I know I can hear you. I know you're busy. This is a rock. This is priority. We cannot live on sound bites alone. See you tomorrow. Lady up. Around this world.